Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. We're going to try, this is the inaugural voyage. We're trying to do something a little bit different tonight. We're trying to do the podcast as we normally always do. You can always call in on the podcast. The number to call in if you have a question or if you want to get involved in what it is that we have going on, the number to call in is 563-999-3508. That's 563-999-3508. My co-host should be joining me here shortly. We're trying to do live stream. We're trying to simultaneously do all of these things. And I think I got my co-host up and on board with me. Yes, I see him in my green room on the video chat. So hopefully everything is going live. We're streaming simultaneously right now to Facebook. On my personal Facebook page, we're on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page going live, and we're also on Twitter going live. Hopefully we hope to be incorporating Instagram into our live feeds and everything else. So welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. This is the show dedicated to basically small fleet owners, the small independent owner operators. On this show, we discuss where you can find, you know, we discuss what's going on in the market, how you can better your operations by sharing ideas and exchange of information back and forth. Also, we try to bring on industry experts. From time to time, we'll always have on, we'll have legal advice. We always have at least one of the top transportation attorneys in the transportation industry. Mr. Hank Seaton joins us on a regular basis. We hope to be getting Hank back up and on board with us really soon because we got some topics and some issues that we want to discuss. Also, tonight's show, we'll get directly into tonight's show. You have to excuse me. I'm kind of a little bit thrown off. This is the very first time we're doing a live stream with the Rates and Lanes podcast, and we're hoping to so bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. Work with us. We want some feedback from you guys, our listeners. So if you're listening in right now through the normal rate on the Blog Talk platform, you can go over to one of those platforms on Facebook, the Rates and Lanes Facebook page, either my personal Facebook page, and also we are broadcasting live on Twitter right now. If you want to see video, you'll be able to do that over there. And hopefully we'll, as we get better at doing this and incorporating this into our platform, we'll be able to start doing some screen shares and being able to bring more information in and getting it out to disseminate so that you can have a better resource and something that we're trying to do to help grow the platform as well. So what we normally always do is we normally get into the weekly summary of what's been going on over the past week within the transportation industry as far as the rates and all of that stuff is concerned. And we're reading that from, we get that information from DAT. DAT Trend Lines Report is one of the preeminent. If you're not subscribed, I recommend you go over there and subscribe. It's a free newsletter that is circulated by DAT. DAT is one of the top load boards in the trucking industry. So they have access to a ton of information over there. We try to get that information, bring it over here, and share it with you. And so without any further ado, let me just jump right directly into that. This week's Trend Lines Report, of course, if you haven't been under a rock, we are showing that the diesel fuel price is still slowly coming down. Of course, everybody knows that it has skyrocketed, but right now we're showing that the national average diesel price is sitting at $5.01 per gallon on a national average. That is up by 0.6 percentage points. Spot rate continues to head south. Dry van and reefer spot rates have dropped around 6 cents per mile each week for the last month. Declining spot market rates in the spring shouldn't surprise anyone in the trucking industry, but it's the pace of the jaw-dropping decline that has everyone's attention right now. Dry vans and reefer rates have dropped by 20% since the start of the year, and as load-to-truck ratios last seen in 2018 emerged, equipment posts, however, are now back at 2019 and 2020 levels at the spot market conditions, as the spot market conditions continue to soften rapidly. So let's take a deeper dive and see how they were performing across each segment type, starting out with the dry van segment of the market, taking a look up in the upper northeastern corridor. We're showing that the average price per mile coming out of the upper northeastern corridor sits at $2.78 per mile. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern markets, we're showing that the average outbound rate for dry vans is at $2.88 per mile. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate at $3.21 per mile. And also we're showing coming out of the south central region of the United States an average rate of $2.86 per mile. And moving out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate at $2.77. Changing gears, jumping over to the flatbed portion of the report. And flatbed seems to be the only segment right now that currently is having any type of it's maintaining itself and it's actually doing quite well. Of course, the seasonality of spot markets when it comes to the flatbed market, we're in season for flatbed, so it makes sense. And we're starting to return to more of a seasonal standard when it comes to the industry across the transportation industry across the board. That's what we're starting to experience. And so with record number of people coming into the market, which is something we'll get into a little bit later as well, with the record number of people that have been coming into the trucking industry, that's having a major effect on the supply and demand. And, of course, that's another big reason why we say that the prices are on the spot market are continuing to decline. But moving on, jumping over into the outbound rates for the flatbed market coming out of the upper northeastern corridor, we're showing an average rate coming out of there on the outbound side for flatbeds at $3.47 per mile. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average outbound rate of $3.61 per mile. Moving out of the Midwest, we're showing that average outbound rate comes in at $3.79. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing an average outbound rate at $3.33. Wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that the average outbound spot market rate for flatbeds is at $2.99. And wrapping up the report, jumping over into the temperature-controlled or reefer portion of the report, starting out as we normally do in the upper northeastern corridor, we're showing that the average outbound spot market rate checks in at $3.08 per mile. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average outbound rate for reefers at $2.99. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound rate for reefers at $3.77. Moving out of the South Central region, we're showing that rate at $3.41 per mile. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that the average outbound rate is at $3.10 per mile. And without any further ado, I'm going to get ready to bring on my co-host. We'll see him live pop in here, hopefully on the screen. My co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. There he is. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rico. You know, I've had a lot of experience on camera, so this is a whole brand new thing for me.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too bad for our listeners. Hopefully everything is coming in nice and smooth. I'm looking around. I hadn't got any feedback yet. Nobody tried to text me or send me any message. So hopefully everything is going smooth out there on the live feed. If not, you know, please forgive us. But we're working with it. With something that we're trying to do to improve the show for you guys and for us as well. We want to try to make an effort to get the information that we're trying to share out there to as many people as possible, especially the smaller carriers. And with that being said, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
No, this is big because this is the big change we've had since you and I started doing this podcast together. I was an unofficial host for a couple of years and probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And this is the biggest change
in
lanes we've ever had.
Yeah, you know, as they always say, you know, if you're not going, if you're not moving, and this is something to implement in your business as well, if you're not trying to evolve and get better and moving and doing something else, then you're staying stagnant, you're dying, and you're not, you know, and we have to do something to try and do, you know, to jolt the system a little bit, to try to get a different result. And I think that there have been a lot of people right now, you know, podcasting is the en vogue thing. A lot of people have come into the space. A lot of people are in here. And there's been tonight, our show is basically surrounding getting back to basics. And we wanted to tackle this subject matter for the fact of it's been a lot of people. We've been having a record number of people come into the industry. I'm predicting that we're going to start to see, just like we saw equipment prices skyrocket and go through the roof, and we also saw the same thing happen when it came to the rates that we were experiencing in the market. I think that we're getting ready to experience sort of a decline. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I think that we have reached a point to where we have a lot of people that are new to the industry that don't understand how to properly run a transportation company. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for everybody, you know. And I don't want to come at it from a negative standpoint to say you can't do this and you shouldn't do this. But what I do want to do is I want to be the voice of reason for all of the people that are. There's a lot of people out there that have something to sell you, and we're not selling you anything right here. We're sharing with you the information and the knowledge that we have. Me being a smaller guy, and we have, and I think that we have a nice cross section because I can speak at it from a real small guy's perspective, and Chuck can come at it and tell you guys. Not only from a large brokerage standpoint, but also from the point of being a large carrier. So we have a nice cross section there that we can kind of come at things and kind of share information from a real world standpoint. It's not a bunch of theory. It's not a bunch of sitting back and trying to sell you a course or something like that. This is coming at it from a standpoint of we're sharing you with you knowledge base and information that you can put into your toolbox and hopefully be able to continue to grow your business and be successful. Anything you want to add before we move on, Chuck? Driver's perspective. I was a company driver. I knew how to drive a truck. I could get around. I knew how to maneuver around, and I knew I could drive the truck. Driving the truck was the easy part, and that's always going to be the easiest part. When the rubber starts to meet the road, it's starting to understand the business aspect of the trucking industry and understanding your numbers. So before you even get started, you have to kind of, if you're coming at this thing from an aspect of whether you're going to be a lease operator, having your own truck and renting it, and well, not renting it, but leasing it back onto a major carrier and under their authority, or if you're going to do it, jump directly out of the frying pan and into the fire by starting your own motor carrier, having your own MC number, having your own authority, your own insurance, and all of that stuff. You have to understand the cost that is associated with those things. You need to sit down and start doing a spreadsheet to understand what is your fixed cost, what is your variable cost. What is fixed cost? Fixed cost is if you have a truck payment, if you have an insurance payment. Those are payments on things that you have to start your company, to run your company, that are always going to be the same, that's going to be consistent. If you know what those loan payments and that insurance payment is every single month, if you understand what those things are, you want to write all those, get yourself a spreadsheet and get all that stuff into one column. And then you're going to have variable costs. Now, starting out, you may not have a good way to calculate variable costs, but that's okay. That's why it's called variable. It's going to adjust. It's going to fluctuate. But what you want to do is try to, as best you can, and I would shoot higher versus lower, because if you shoot higher and you come in less, then you just save yourself some money. You got a little bit of savings. So your variable cost is anything like your maintenance, your fuel costs, legal costs, lodging costs, all those different things that have to do with that. Another thing on the fixed cost is subscription. So if you got load boards, stuff like that, that's going to stay the same. You want to get all of those things calculated, because why do you need all that stuff? Of course, you need to understand what it you need to make for the cost, but you also need to understand the bare minimum of what it's going to take to operate your company and stay profitable. And you need to, on a daily basis, you need to be calculating a profitability number. What number do you want to be able to say on a daily basis? How much profit are you turning? This is some of the things that, because there's such a very low barrier of entry to get into the trucking industry. As long as you can pretty much fog a mirror, have a CDL, and have the equipment, and get someone to file the paperwork, you're in business. And that's a quick way. It's a real quick way to get in business, but it's a real quick way to get out of business as well if you don't understand what's going on. Anything that you would like?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I have a point here. Sometimes your variable costs are really fixed costs, and I'll tell you where that happens. I think a lot of times when I'm talking to new entrants, and even sometimes with a new owner-operator, and they will have gone out and bought a 2022 Freightliner, Cascadia, or whatever, and they're not putting money away for repairs. And that's got to be, even that brand new 2022 Freightliner Cascadia that's got all sorts of warranty, what happens when that warranty is up and you blow an engine? You've got to put some money away. That motor does not last forever. And the big mistake that we see all the time is you get somebody who wants to run cheap, and they buy a 2022 truck. And in this market, up in Canada, they're well over $200,000. So you put two guys in the truck, and you run like crazy, and you know, and there's teams in up here that will run 25,000 miles every month. So that's 300,000 miles a year. And after 3 years, that truck is really, it doesn't stop. Or it doesn't stop for very long. It's beat.
So we have the someone that has their hand raised, Chuck. They want to ask a question. Want to get them involved in the show now. So bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing this live stream, and we want to make sure that we are able to take live calls on the air. And I'm not necessarily a technical guru, so we're not sure exactly how to pull all of this stuff off this yet. So you may not hear our caller on the air. Me and Chuck will be able to hear them, but we'll try to pass their question on so that on the live stream people can understand and hear what it is that they have to say. Okay, Paula, I'm sorry. You're up live with Rico and Chuck. What's your question and how can we help?
Hey, good afternoon, or good evening, rather. I just kind of wanted to let you guys know that I appreciate everything that you guys doing and the work that you're putting in and everything and, you know, giving us our knowledge of wealth as far as operation and going and doing and knowing the numbers and everything like that, because I think that is so, so very important, you know, in really knowing the numbers. I'm a frequent caller to the show. I call in every now and then whenever I get a chance to listen to the show. And one of the questions I wanted to ask is that we know that there's an overpopulation of trucks that's in the market, and with rates going back down to normal because of that overpopulation of trucks that's on the market. I guess my question is that how long will you think that it will take for that population to kind of balance out? I mean, I'm hearing people losing their authority, going out of business because they got a $4,500 a month truck and trailer payment that they can't afford right now with the rate paying or what they're paying, and which, you know, I don't think they should have never really got into this business, because they got into this business just only looking at the money and looking at how good the money was, but never experienced a downturn like what we have now. And I'm seeing them driving a lot of those out of business, and which is a good thing, because the market do need to correct itself in that part. But, you know, I got, as far as my operations, I got everything paid for. All of my equipment is paid for. I got money set up, put back into the bank, you know, doing the Kevin Rutherford thing to put your money up. And when everybody begin to start going out of business and losing their equipment and everything like that, that's when everything go on sale, and that's when I plan to write a check to be able to purchase without even having payment on building a fleet. And I guess my question is, how long do you think it would take for the market to begin to correct itself as far as the capacity of trucks in the industry?
I think getting some feedback here.
I got it on my end.
Okay. There's hardly been a truck or trailer built in 2 years. So even if these people do unfortunately go out of business, it's not like their $140,000 reefer trailer is all of a sudden going to be fire sale for $65,000, because the cost of a new reefer is so expensive and they haven't built any, that it'll just be grabbed up by even smaller fleets that would like to buy new, but they can't buy new. As a matter of fact, last week I was looking through truck paper, and a brand new 53-foot Manac dry van. Now this, they actually had the trailer for sale. It wasn't order now and get it in September. It was $100,000 US. So, you know, this is getting crazy. So if you've got some decent equipment, if it's a year or two old, I've talked to people that have been able to get out of where they paid too much for a truck, but they've been able to get out of the deal with the shorts on. So I don't know if there's going to be any deals, because what I predict is going to happen when this whole supply chain issue subsides. The big guys, the J.B. Hunts and Werders and Schneiders and Swips and all the rest of them, they're going to be the first to get their orders filled for tractors and trailers. And the OEMs, although they don't get as much money per truck, they take 1,000 trucks at a time. And I'm just guessing it's 1,000, maybe it's 2,000, maybe it's 500. but in this market, they probably will take 1,000 or 2,000. They will take that many trucks. So if you were Freightliner or Navistar or Volvo, would you rather sell 1,000 trucks to one company, or would you rather deal with 1,000 different people? You know, and that's the difference. So I don't think the equipment will end up in other people's hands, in the hands of carriers, but it won't be cheap.
Yeah, and I think the answer to go directly a little bit more as far as the time frame, how soon do I think that we're going to start to experience people going out of business or unfortunately going out of business and losing equipment? I think that you're starting to experience some of that now. I think that you're starting to experience some of that, and I think it's going to reach a I think it's going to get increase a lot within the next 6 to 12 months, within the next 6 months to next year. And that's another reason why that prompted us to want to do this show tonight. We wanted to try to reiterate and tell people about how getting back to basics for two primary reasons. We wanted to bring up this subject matter was for people that are already listening, that are already in business, people that are our listeners already, to kind of get them prepped. Go ahead, kind of like what you're already doing, Steven, getting your war chest built up. If you got aspirations to buy some equipment later on down the road, you want to expand your fleet, now's the time to start to get your war chest built up, because it's going to be coming, and if you got the bullets, you got the ammunition to be able to shoot a bird. If it flies up, then you know, go ahead and get your ammunition stored now so that you have it available when things present themselves, when the opportunities come, because I think it's going to be coming fast and heavy. That's another thing we want to talk about, getting back to basics tonight, because right now equipment cost is so high. Getting into the business right now, and it's a twofold thing tonight that we really want to get into. Something that's been on my radar and has been on my heart to kind of, and that's another reason why we want to kind of go live tonight as well. Hopefully we want to record this, and we want to start trying to record our shows in the future and start uploading them. But the main thing was, a lot of people are starting to, with the advent of social media, you got a lot of people that are out here pushing and selling courses and stuff like that, trying to get people to get into the trucking industry, the transportation industry. And, of course, trucking has been very good to me. I started my business back in 2010, and I haven't looked back. I've been working independently on my own ever since then. It provided me the opportunity to take care of my family and do the things that I enjoy doing and that I love doing, and I would never discourage anyone from getting into the trucking industry. However, I think that with the lifestyle marketing and the different things that are going on out there, I'm seeing a lot of stuff that really turns my stomach, to be quite honest with you. I think that a lot of people are being sold a false bill of goods to get into this industry, and they're not showing that they're touting all of the good things, but they're not telling everybody both sides of the coin. They're not telling people both sides of the equation. I think we're going to have we've already got a lot of people that have gotten into this industry that don't fully understand this industry, that has caused the saturation to take place. You've been record number of people that have come into the industry, record number of trucks that have been out here. That's why there's so few, the cost of equipment has gone so sky high. Right now you have a shortage of parts, of course, with the supply chain issues that we're having in this country. So these are all different things, and this is new uncharted territory when it comes to these supply chain issues. So if you have a breakdown or something and you have to sit around and wait on a part, especially if for us smaller guys that have one truck or whatever, and that one truck is down because you're waiting on a part, and you have no other way of generating income or whatever while that truck is down, you're basically getting ready to be put out of business, because now you have these absorbently large truck payments, equipment costs that you're having to endure, along with the insurance cost that comes along with that by being a new entrant into the industry. And you have that to combat, and you also have to combat the higher price of insurance, that higher costing the equipment. You know, the more expensive the equipment is, the more it's going to cost the insurance, which is all translating back down into understanding your costs. understanding those different things and having those things broken down to a standpoint to understand what is it going to take, how much revenue per week, per month, per day, per mile are you going to need to be able to continue to operate a successful trucking company and be able to keep your, you know, for lack of a better term, keep the wheels turning. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have this show tonight, because of all of those things that I just listed off. So within the next 6 months, I think that you're going to have, there's going to be opportunities there to be had to be able to pick up some equipment on the cheap. I think you're going to start to see not only small carriers, but even big companies. I think you're going to see a lot of big companies start to go bad and go into repossessions and foreclosures as far as bankruptcies with their companies and stuff of the nature, because they also they are dealing with some of the same market conditions that smaller guys are having to deal with. I want to go into some other stuff here as well, but Chuck, go ahead. You look like you want to jump back in there.
Well, no, I listened to words written by Craig Fuller from FreightWaves 2 weeks ago, and he said verbatim. Craig Fuller is the guy that founded FreightWaves, and he's founded a couple of other truck lines down in that neck of the woods. And he said exactly verbatim what you just said. So I think that there is there's going to be a lot of especially what will happen is second the factories start working again, and these large carriers usually flip their trucks every 3 years or so, and they've had to keep them for five. They're going to want to get rid of those five-year-old trucks, and then they will begin. So that's going to put more trucks in the market, which will make trucks cheaper again. So that's what we have to look forward to up the road. So there is, like our listener was wondering, there is some hope for cheaper equipment, but we have to wait until the current demand for newer equipment gets fulfilled.
And just to kind of put another, small little feather, we talk about relationships a lot on our podcast, and this is where relationships will help you out to be able to identify some of those things as well. Having that relationship with your bankers or your bank, because they may be financing other trucking companies or small people that have went out and bought trucks and stuff like that. So kind of you have to tell them what it is that you're in business doing. You have to let everyone know. And if you have that relationship with your bankers or whatever that you have access to that information, they may have a customer that they know is getting into trouble, and you may have an opportunity there by having that relationship with a banker or someone in your financial network that deals with financing equipment, so things of that nature. That may be an opportunity there to be able to pick something up on the low as well. So you have to be able to make sure that you're doing what you do to develop those relationships, cultivate the relationships from a financial standpoint. Something else I want to get into, we're talking about getting back to basics, and while I'm on the subject of banking, you want to make sure that you have relationships with, I would say, and Chuck, you can probably speak to this as well, at least two different banks. It might be good to say three different banks, but make sure that you have a local bank that understands that you probably do most of your business with on a local level, either a local bank or a local credit union. That way you have that relationship established. It's tax time right now. Go ahead and get your taxes take your tax returns in there. Let them already know anything that you're going to need in order to get a loan processed or whatever. Go ahead and let them get on board with them right now. Get them the information that they need so that if something comes up and you need to have the backing of a financial institution, and you're showing them, you're exhibiting that you have the credit worthiness, one. So this is another thing about getting back to basics. You need to have good credit, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know any other way to say it. You need to be able to have good credit, and you need to start out on a personal level, getting your personal credit, understanding how your personal credit will affect you, because starting out initially, everything that you do as a small person, you're going to have to do personal guarantees on until you get to a certain level. And in order for you to be able to get a nice substantial amount of working capital going, you're going to have to be able to utilize your personal credit. Now, if you have things set up with your credit union, you get business credit and everything like that established, that gives you another tool in your tool belt to be able to take down certain things. But starting out those relationships, and Chuck, you want to speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, I do. Use one bank for personal and always use another bank or credit union for your business. And then once you get to a certain size, if you've got, in this market, if you have five trucks, so in most interstate operations, even though rates, you know, unless you're going to lock into contract rates, you'll still be doing, on five trucks, you'll still be doing over $1 million a year. If you're going to work with a bank, my best advice, and I've said it on this show before, get audited statements from your accountant. Bankers love it. And when you walk into a bank with an audited statement, it says everything they want to know about you. It also makes it very easy to borrow money from the OEMs for equipment. As long as you can get a bit of a deal, some of the OEMs do have financial options for you as well. I know Freightliner, when they were under Mercedes-Benz, before it was Daimler, they used to have Mercedes-Benz credit, and I know that PACCAR Financial. So there are some opportunities there, so you don't have to tie up your business line of credit.
Absolutely. Also, getting back into the I wanted to touch on the whole subject of we're talking about building your credit. We're talking about getting things in line and in place. Getting business credit when it comes to your credit cards. That gives you another tool. When it comes to your credit cards, getting business credit, that's going to separate it from your personal credit. Even though you personally guarantee the business credit card, you can get larger lines of credit. Now, that doesn't mean this is all part about being responsible and understanding what it is that you're getting yourself into. That
you don't want to pay
because no, you don't want to pay, especially that type of credit card interest.
Yeah.
But it does give you the ability, if you have something take place, and I'll say this. Credit, having a business credit card and utilizing that to finance your accounts receivable is better than using a factoring company. For those people that are coming in that have factoring companies and they think that they're getting a good deal on your factoring company, oh, it's only 5%. That's only 5% every 30 days. You have to understand how the factoring companies work with that interest rate. And if you don't understand the math on how that breaks down, that can be a whole conundrum, because in some cases that factoring interest rate can be as high as, geez Louise, I've heard as much as you could turn around and be looking at easily 30-40% on an annual
yeah.
basis.
45% is they like to turn their money 8 times a year, so you could easily be 45%. I don't know of one trucking company in the world that makes 45%.
So understanding what and I think that we're going to reach out on a future show. We're going to reach out and try to have on something else that we're going to get into tonight as well. But we're going to have a certified public accountant to come on and explain these numbers and break them down, and also, when it comes to for our ladies and gentlemen that are out there, I know what's going on out there. I know a lot of people doing it, and I'm probably not going to win any popularity contest about what it is that I'm getting ready to say. But when it comes down to the 1099 employees, if that person does not own that truck and you have a truck and you are paying a person on a 1099, you are setting yourself up for trouble. And I think that a lot of people have been able to get away with it, but I just don't have that kind of luck. I'm the kind of person that always seems to get caught. So I always try to do things by the book. Rico, it never like works out for me. It never works out for me to try to cut a corner.
I'm just like you, and I realized a long time ago, and I was lucky. I had at one time about 44, 45 years ago, I had a small fleet of about 12 trucks, and we were running all over the place, a lot of Carolinas, a lot of California, a lot of New York, and I'll never forget one Saturday talking to this old-timer, and I was paying drivers as their own companies, and this old-timer said to me, Snow, you are out of your mind. He said, one day, one of these guys is going to get into a horrible wreck, and you're going to get caught holding the bag. You think you're so smart? Well, you're not. You've just been lucky. And he scared me so much that was on the Friday or on the Saturday. On the Monday, I went out and I legitimized everything, and I hired a legitimate driver service to run the guys through, so there was WSIV, working safety paid, and everything else. And about 3-4 weeks later, I had one of those drivers blown up in New Jersey, in Salem, New Jersey. He looked in his fuel tank. Now, luckily, he was a big guy like you, Rico, so the bulk of the explosion hit his chest, which is where my head would be. But he looked in a fuel tank of diesel with a Bic lighter, and there wasn't much fuel in there. Oh, don't laugh. I had three guys do that through the years. Because diesel isn't the most flammable thing, but I got to tell you, those fumes are highly, highly volatile. Oh, my God, yeah. And this guy, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I went down to see him in a burn unit in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and you've never been at such a horrendous place in your whole life as a burn unit. It was one of the most horrendous experiences of my life. So I do things above board for the same reason you're telling our listeners to. It doesn't pay to do otherwise.
Yeah, so when the IRS decides to get ready to come after you, you know, they coming after you, and that's not a pretty feeling. But the other thing also we was talking about a little earlier, and I want to circle back around to, we're talking about with this whole, I've seen all types of things with people, talking people into buying courses about doing dispatch services and courses and stuff like that. And there's been a lot of stuff that has been coming down the pipe that has, in our industry, has thrown a monkey wrench, so to speak. I'm going to try to tackle these one at a time when it comes to the dispatch services, okay? There's a lot of stuff that's been going on lately with loads being stolen and things of that nature. You going out and you hiring someone and you giving them another percentage of every dollar that you make for them to do a job that you could very easily do on your own and control what's going on. Now, here's the flip. Besides you paying them to do that, something that you could easily do on your own, something that you need to understand how to do as well is understand how to negotiate. And I'm not saying you could probably teach someone within your immediate family circle or someone that you know on how to do it. If you need to outsource that, you could probably teach someone and pay them a decent salary in order to be able to do that. And they would actually have a little bit more of your better interest in mind versus using a dispatch service, in my humble opinion. The other flip side to that is you're giving, in most cases, you're giving a dispatch service you're giving them the power of attorney. So you're giving them power of attorney to represent your company. They're going out there, and they may have 10 other different trucking services that they're dispatching for. Well, those other trucking services, their safety records may not be all that high. Other situations could be in situations where they can't qualify because certain brokers, and Chuck can speak to this because he has a brokerage, their safety scores may not meet the criteria, and so they won't book the load with them. So now if your safety scores are in par and you have a good safety rating, in order to get that load from that broker, they will use your information and send the other trucking company in there to go pick that load up. Exactly. And that is something that is happening. That is something that this is the underbelly of what is going on out here that these people that are selling you these courses are not talking about. They're not telling you all of these different things, and then you're the one that could be held on the hook and liable because you've given them power of attorney, so they are an agent of your company. There's all kind of liability that you are signing yourself up for that you have basically turned over to somebody else that is trying to run another little business. And if they really are if they really wanted to be a true dispatch service, they would just become a broker. But they don't want to actually do the hard work of actually going out here, knocking on doors and selling freight in order to actually become a real true broker. And if anyone has questions about any of this stuff, you can call in. I need to remind myself to give out the number since we're live. 563-999-3508. We got about 15 more minutes before we get off the number again. It's 563-999-3508. The calling number. And press the number one. That lets us know to kind of get you into the queue.
You know, Rico, two things I got to say on the dispatch service. Number one, if they were all legitimate, 100% legitimate, that wouldn't be bad. But that doesn't happen anymore because there's a lot of them out there that are doing exactly what you said. They'll have some subpar carriers out there, but they want to load them too. So they'll say that it's Crescent carriers and get to load them, and they give it to ABC carrier. The other thing I think our listeners need to remember, we're going into a bit of a downturn on the spot market. If you need one of these dispatch services, that means you're playing the stock market or the spot market. If you're playing the spot market, that means that you're working for a lot less today than you were a month ago. So can you really afford that percentage of your revenue to pay for somebody to do something that you should be doing on your own? That's a big question.
The other thing, this whole thing about trucking automation, you going out, taking your good credit, going out, financing a truck, don't worry about it. We'll find the driver. We'll dispatch it. The only thing you're going to be doing is collecting a check. That may have been a good thing a year or two ago. That may have been I'm not even gonna say it was a good thing. Let me reverse and pull that one all the way back in. They may have been able to deliver on those promises a year or two ago, but like we just said and like we just reiterated, the market is going down. The spot market is going down, and if they're operating on the spot market. But the biggest thing to that is if you are allowing yourself to use your good credit to go out and help someone grow their fleet, you should understand what you're getting signed up for. And this is something that we're going to have Hank Seaton on, our resident legal expert, to kind of talk about and go into this in depth to understand the legal ramifications of what you could be ultimately getting yourself entangled into. Because, okay, yes, they are the carrier. They may have the insurance as far as the cargo insurance and all of that is concerned. But say, for instance, if the two different scenarios, driver does like Chuck says and not the brightest light out there and uses a big lighter to look into the fuel tank to check the fuel and it blows up on himself or whatever, more than likely, a lot of times, from the things that I've seen when people are talking about doing this automated trucking and getting drivers put in place for you, they're paying them on a 1099. There's no workers' compensation involved with that. So now they're looking for somebody to sue. They're going to be looking for somebody to sue. Who owns that truck? So whoever's the owner of that truck, that's more than likely, that's who they're going to be. It's going to be probably a lot of people named in the lawsuit, but I think the ultimate liability is going to come back onto the owner of that truck. Ignorance of the law is no defense. So you have to understand that. Point number two, if they don't hurt themselves, but if they hurt someone else, they get into an accident, they get into a fatality, which is a very real possibility. God forbid. What have you opened yourself up to? Understanding, worst case scenario, okay, they get off somewhere and they get tired of the company that you gave the truck to lease out to somebody. They leave the truck somewhere 3,000 miles across the country. How do you recover that truck? There's a whole lot of things that I'm not sure that it's being that they're giving you all of the different scenarios. And I understand I'm not one to quail or want to stomp on someone else's entrepreneurship. I think that I think it's a great thing. And I think that there are definitely opportunities to be had in the transportation industry, but I think that you should be making sure that you are doing a lot more due diligence, not just taking the word of someone whose course that you have bought, that is not giving you all of the ins and outs. And understand, they're selling you something for a reason. And a lot of people that are selling these lifestyles, you look at a lot of the stuff, you got a lot of people that are doing a lot of social media marketing and stuff of that nature. And I'm not one to knock nobody else's hustle, but I feel like I have an obligation and a duty to inform as many people as I possibly can about what it is that they may be getting themselves involved in. I hate a bully. That's just something about my nature. I just hate a bully. And I think that when people do that, they're kind of bullying you in a sense. They're kind of financially bullying you, and you don't know that they're bullying you until it's too late, and you're kind of stuck in that conundrum, and then you're like, I didn't understand. I didn't know what I was signing myself up for. But I want to kind of touch on that.
100%. They're using you as, you know what, they're taking you for a suck. They're taking your trust. They're mistaking your trust for stupidity. You know, it reminds me of a story. Many years ago, I was a witness in a small criminal court in Toronto, and my mother's friend was the judge, and a kid went up there. He was one of those tough-looking characters, and he was up there on an assault charge, and what happened was the judge, Judge Napier, said to him, so do you think you're a tough guy? And the guy goes, yeah. He says, you like to fight? He goes, yeah. He says, are you good at fighting? He says, yeah, I'm pretty good. He says, if you're so good at fighting, then your job is to protect people, not to hurt them. 60 days in the slammer. And that was, you know, I was pretty young then. I was just there as a witness. But that set a real metaphor for me. If you're real smart, then don't take advantage of people who are not as smart as you. It's morally wrong.
Right, right. So, Chuck, I'm looking at the time. We're getting close up on it. Let me go. I'm going to check a couple of other things. I wanted to make sure that we didn't have anyone. It's going fast. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please give us some feedback about tonight's show. We want to know, do you like the format as far as us trying to go live? Do you like it? You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to incorporate a chat room, or how do we can maybe, if we can't take live callers, if we can maybe get a chat room or something going where we can have that interactive piece into the show. But we're going to try to start doing the podcast on a regular basis with the video format. We're going to try to download these, maybe start uploading them to YouTube, maybe get them uploaded onto Instagram as well, because I think that it's important that we start to try to get the word out and spread the word as much as we can about the different things that we have to offer here on the Racing Lanes podcast, and at the same time be able to deliver good, valuable information, actionable information that you can use to help better your operation, and just share, share experiences that will help maybe put you in a better position to keep the doors open and keep everything going. Chuck, anything you want to add before we get out of here? I want you to go ahead. You probably be a good time now. Let everybody know how they can get in contact with you, where they can find you, if they have a question.
If anybody has a question about either getting set up with Trafix as a carrier or something about the trucking or brokerage sectors, please reach out to me. You can send me an email, chuck@trafix.com, or you can give me a call. My extension is 203, and the phone number is 1-800-388-4352. Again, extension 203. Or you can try sending me a private message on Instagram at Chuck Snow CEO. And with that, Rico, I'll let you do the closing ceremonies.
Well, like I said, once again, ladies and gentlemen, please give us some feedback. Drop us a mail, drop us a chat, send us an email either on Facebook, on one, if you're looking at it on the live, leave us some feedback on the live. If you want to get involved on the show, if you want to be able to try to call in, like I said, we're going to try to incorporate a chat, but in, for future purpose, preferences, you can call in at 563-999-3508. That is the number here on the on our other platform as far as getting in to ask a question and to conversation.
But you have to press one.
You have to press one. Thanks for reminding me, Chuck. You have to press the number one. But we're getting used to this new format. We're trying to get acclimated to it. And so I want to thank everyone for participating on here with us. Of course, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you took a little bit of time to hang out here with us on the Rapes and Lanes podcast, and we're always eternally grateful for you doing so. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the podcast. We're, like I said, we're going to start trying to do this on a regular basis on all of the podcasts going forward. We're going to start trying to stream them live video-wise, and also we're going to start when we have our guests on, our guests will be able, hopefully, if they're in a position to join us via video feed. We're going to have our guests join us via video feed in the future as well. But, yes, we definitely would love your feedback on tonight's show and going forward. If you have questions about something that we can help you with, if anything that you are not quite sure about when it comes to business, whether anything transportation-related, whether it has to do with contracts, developing the business, anything of those natures, drop us a line. We always try to bring on industry experts. Now, of course, we can talk about it from our experience level, but we want to try to bring the industry experts and people that are proficient at the things that we're talking about and bring them here on the show for you to have an opportunity to pick their brain as well. So if you got anything as far as that's concerned, drop us a letter in the chat under any of the live feeds that just has come across. And in the future, you know, of course, follow us on Instagram. We have the Rapes and Lanes Instagram page. We have Chuck Snow, CEO, over on Instagram. We have Rico's CEO over on Instagram. Give us a follow over there. Of course, like us on Facebook. And once we get the YouTube up and coming, we want you to be able to go over to YouTube, subscribe. We're going to try to upload all of our videos to YouTube as well so that you can have a little bit of an archive of different stuff that you can go back to and find it easily to be able to get it to go back and listen to any time that you would like to. So for the racing for Chuck Snow, and this has been the Rapes and Lanes podcast, we want to thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for taking some time to hang out with us. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you were here with us, and we're glad that you did so. So until the next time, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. God bless you and good night.
Catch on the flip-flop.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.